Just in short, these are different, you know, paths or methods. Buddha yoga is just another word for bhakti yoga, at least in Bhagavad Gita, maybe in some other circumstances not. One thing I try to focus people's attention on is you have to be careful about what context. We're hearing a word in what context. Because in one context a word may mean one thing, in another context it may mean something very different. So when we say karma yoga, usually what we mean is that someone's performing activities that are somehow directed toward their sense gratification. You know, usually that's what we think. But it, in one place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the word karma yoga, and he means bhakti yoga, meaning that you are working for Krishna. Arjuna's whole problem is he's saying that he heard and he understands that devotion means to be pure, and to be pure, he thinks, means to not act. And so Krishna is saying, no, it's not about not acting. It's about the motivation with which you do things. So that he calls karma yoga, acting for me. But later on, Krishna uses the word karma yoga in a different sense, meaning that one is engaged in material desires. You know, and there's karma kanda, where one does specific material activities for specific material benedictions. And karma yoga, where one may be worshipping the Supreme, but ultimately the reason one worships the Supreme is so the Supreme will bestow whatever material desire one wants, you know. So that's another kind of conception of karma yoga. But, you know, all these different forms are different paths. There's a thing called the yoga ladder. At the bottom rung of the yoga ladder is what we call animal life, which means that a person is simply trying to enjoy their senses and they don't care how they're going to do it. They don't have any morality or scruples, and they don't have any religious connection. They're just going to enjoy their material happiness. Then above that is karma kanda, where someone is going to try to enjoy material activities, but they understand that there should be some regulation. And that regulation is Vedic regulation, and they're going to try to enjoy, but in a very regulated way. And that's the next step up on the ladder. The step above that is what we usually call karma yoga, which I take to mean that a person wants to serve God, but the real reason they're serving God is still so they can have material desires fulfilled. At least God is in the picture now. But the idea is that I perform spiritual religious rituals and God will be pleased with me, and therefore God will give me what I want materially. Then above that is what's called jnana yoga. Now we're moving into a very small percentage of population. Jnana yoga means that a person has recognized that material sense gratification is not at all the goal of life. So that's what makes the karma yogi very different. I mean the jnana yogi very different. He unlike the karma kandi, unlike the animal life person, unlike the karma yogi, he thinks that material gratification can't be the goal of life. So very few people think like that, but the jnani does. But he's not sure what the goal of life should be. So he's searching through many different things, going to various kinds of sanghas to try to understand what the mystery is behind the world. He's not sure what it is. But he thinks there is some mystery, and he thinks that's the purpose of life.
Yeah.
Then above him is the Astanga yogi, the yogi who understands that the mystery of life can be solved by a process, and that process is yoga. One can perform asanas and gradually purify the consciousness, and one will reach an understanding inside. So above that, of course, the bhakti yogi. And the bhakti yogi understands that the real purpose of life is a person, Krishna. And we should surrender Krishna not for him to fulfill our desires, but to fulfill his desires. So all these are different stages. It's not necessarily that one has to go through all stages. One can skip some stages. But we can usually find and characterize any individual by what stage they most identify with. Someone may be more a jnani, someone may be more a karmakandi, someone may be more a karma yogi, someone may be a astanga yogi, or someone may be a bhakta. But each group has their own view of the world and their own goal and their own method. And that's why Krishna is lending Arjuna the time to go through all these different things and understand how they fit together. And then ultimately in 6th chapter, Krishna recommends bhakti yoga out of all those different things. Does that make sense?
It's okay to perform combination of all these yogas in conjunction?
Not necessarily. In fact, it's an impediment. We find that generally the Vaishnava literature state that one should perform bhakti yoga without any elements of karma or jnana. Because jnana yoga has a specific goal, and that goal is knowledge, not of Krishna, but of some mysterious state of mind or some mysterious something behind the universe. So it's speculative. And the real dynamic of jnana yoga is speculation. One reads various literatures, Vedic and otherwise, and guesses about what may be behind the universe. So that's not necessary if you're engaging in bhakti yoga. You know what's behind the universe. It's Krishna. And your purpose is to serve Krishna. Now, karmakanda or karma yoga, the idea is to perform some religious activity and therefore get material benediction as a result of that religious activity. And that's also not desirable in bhakti yoga. We don't want to perform bhakti yoga for some material benefit. We might be doing that, but we're trying not to do that. But the goal of the karmakandi or the karma yogi is to have material gratification. That's what makes them different from a bhakta. So again, we don't want to mix that. And, you know, the idea of astanga yoga, there's no need to do astanga yoga. Rather, we can perform bhakti yoga and it gets the same exact effect or the same, reaches the same, you know, conclusion or the same and better platform than performing astanga yoga. So, you know, in 6th chapter, Krishna says, you know, what is it? Tapas vibhyo diko yogi jnanibhyo. I forget what the whole verse is, but Krishna is saying that, you know, he's talked about all these things, and he says, you don't have to be a jnani, you don't have to be a tapasvi, you don't have to be a karmi. Rather be a yogi, Arjuna. And then in the next verse he explains what kind of yogi he wants Arjuna to be, and that's a bhakti yogi. So we're not trying to mix the different regimes, we're trying to do bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga will have some elements that are common between bhakti yoga and these other yogas. But basically, bhakti is sufficient of itself. We don't have to mix the other things. If we are mixing them, that means we don't understand bhakti yoga.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, as mentioned,
Maharaj Prasadam, you want to take now?
Yeah, I'll take now. I'll take here if that's okay. Is that what you want?
Up to you.
Okay, let me take here then.
Okay.
So
you can start afterwards. First,
yeah.
You take the Prasadam.
All right.
And that is fine. Prasadam is ready.